Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hello, Howie Saxteen, how are you?
Hello, Kathy Kayla.
How's it going?
It's good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Based on the conversation you were just having, yes. I want to share with you some wisdom that was given to me by Ashley Cohen. Now, Ashley is one of the wisest people I know, fantastic business person in Johannesburg. And many years ago, he told me that there were three rules about public relations. The first is you get the story out before everyone else. That's rule number one.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number two is you tell the truth. And rule number three is you tell the entire truth.
100%.
Those are the only three rules of public relations.
Okay, so could you maybe call the US and just let them know? Because they might not know this. It's shocking how it...
It applies to the US. It applies to you in your personal life. It applies to you in business. But, you know, you don't let stories ferment.
Yeah.
Especially where there's stories about trust. You want to get your story out as soon as possible. That's absolutely, absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to comment about the US. I just want to comment about the rules of public relations.
Yeah.
The way the world works, and it's the way it works in America and the UK and Australia and South Africa, because human nature is exactly the same. And if you've got a story, you want to be ahead of the story. You want to be in control of the story. You want to be providing as much information as possible, and you want to be 100% accurate in what you say. Otherwise, it destroys you completely.
100%. So I just want to go to the SMS line quickly. Howard, you know, today's Count Your Buttons Day. So when we were kids, if you wore buttons, we'd touch each button. As we counted them, we'd say Tinker, Tailor, and then I can't remember what the others were. And whichever one you ended on, that would be the career of your husband one day. Yeah. So I said, you know, I actually can't remember what those were. So Gail's weighed in. She said, Tinker, Tailor, Rich Man, Poor Man, Beggar Man, Thief. So
Did you not have Lego when you were a kid?
No, we did. We stood on lots of them. I have the wins to prove it.
Can you just tell me, was it accurate?
No. Nor was that whole thing about, you know, that, and they lived happily ever after. So Howard, I just want to address some of these SMSs if I can, and then we have to talk about this election, which is happening in the United States in 2 weeks. M says the best in probably doesn't know what to do. They might fear another hostile interview on Chai FM. So it's interesting that you saw that as hostile, M. You know, if you agree, what you don't know, and I'm going to come out and say it, is that I'm met for almost 2 hours with Dovi Goldstein the day before. And my senior investigative journalist was there with me. We both attended this Zoom meeting. And I said, these are the things that I'm going to ask. So if you come on and you don't answer my questions, and I am going to gun for you. Because that's telling me that you're hiding something. That's the first thing. And that's never happened. I've never, ever, ever, ever done that. So we have given the Beth Din and the US more chances as community media than we've given anybody else ever. So I don't think that it was hostile, and I don't think that it was unfair. But hey, that's just me. Howard Saxteen, can we please talk about the US elections?
Can you believe it's now less than 2 weeks to go?
I know.
It seems like the campaign has been going on literally for years. And
from the day,
really interesting,
yes, from the day that Trump came in, actually, it's been going on.
Exactly. And of course, by American law, the elections are held on the first Tuesday following the first Monday in the month of November. So you can never have an election on the first of the month if it's a Tuesday, because there has to have been a Monday first. And luckily this year, there is a Monday first, and that's why we have elections on the 3rd of November.
Very good.
And of course, the other thing to realize is America is not really a democracy the way we understand a democracy. You know, if you get 50% of the votes, you get 50% of the seats. If you win the popular vote, you become president. that's not the way it works in America, because they have something called an electoral college. And you have to win a state. And even if you win a state by one vote, you get all of the members of the electoral college for that state. So you can literally, by one single vote, you can get all of California or all of Texas or all of New York. And those electors then go to a national convention called the Electoral College, and they vote for the next candidate. Now, the very interesting thing is American law does not prescribe that if I win a state, that those electors actually have to go and elect me. So in theory, I can win an entire state. My representatives come to the Electoral College, and they're under no obligation to vote for me. It's a very, very weird system. And that is why in the last few elections, in fact, the popular vote, the majority of the voters in America have not had the candidate who they selected. It happened with Donald Trump. It happened before with George Bush. A minority is determining who the next president is going to be, because it's almost based on a constituency system like you'd see in the United Kingdom, or you'd see maybe in local government elections in South Africa. And when you win the constituency, and each constituency, being each state, has a different number of electors who go to the Electoral College, but each constituency sends their representatives. And that's why, generally, over the last few elections, we've seen minority presidents in office in America.
Was Obama,
isn't that weird, Kat?
Was Obama a minority president?
No, but no, Obama wasn't.
I mean, I'm just saying
George
that
George Bush was a minority president. Bush Jr. And Donald Trump is a minority president.
So which way do you think it's going to go, Howie?
So I, you know, very interestingly, because of this weird system that you have, it actually is very hard to predict. So currently, if you look at the polls, most of the polls put Biden about 11 points ahead of Donald Trump. So they put Donald Trump at about 41-42% of the vote, and Joe Biden is sitting probably at about 50-51% of the vote, and the rest are undecided. But the other thing we know about Americans is they lie, and they lie an awful lot.
Yes, exit polls.
The people who lie most tend to be the people who support Donald Trump, but just don't want to admit it to anyone else. So the polls are very unreliable. But when you look at it as well, it makes no difference what the overall poll of the country looks like, because we describe the way that this electoral college votes. You have to look at, you know, New York or Massachusetts, for example, will always vote Democrat. There's no question about it. Many states are already committed. There are only about 7 or 8 states where it actually matters, because those are the states which can go either way. It's what the Americans call a swing state. And where are those key states? Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, North Carolina, Arizona, Iowa, and Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think it's so, Ohio. Ohio, whichever way Ohio has voted historically, that's always been the president. They're the only state that, I don't know, there's an interesting stat about Ohio, and I'm not sure what it is. It's one of those marker states, which is quite interesting.
So interestingly, at the latest polling in Ohio shows that Donald Trump is sitting at 48.2% of the Ohio vote, mm-hmm. while Joe Biden is sitting at 48. So if you believe in those grand theories about, okay, this is the state which will be indicative, Donald Trump in polls seems slightly ahead in Ohio. But in these swing states, he's doing very, very well in Ohio. He's doing well in Iowa. Sorry, in Ohio, he's 1.4% ahead. He's 47.4%. But Florida is looking like it could potentially go Biden, as is Pennsylvania, as is Michigan and North Carolina, Wisconsin and Arizona. But why is the American Jewish community quite influential when it comes to elections? And it comes from three things. It comes from the fact that American Jews are generally very involved in politics. So they very active in campaigning for candidates. They're very engaged in the political system. So that's number one. Number two is they large donors to political parties, disproportionately large donors to both political parties. And the third thing is that the size of the Jewish community in Florida and Pennsylvania is large enough to actually determine which of those two swing states swing in which direction. Now the latest polls of American Jews are showing that between 70 and 71% of American Jews are going to vote Biden.
That's quite interesting. The ultra-Orthodox.
Ultra-Orthodox are the one segment who are all Trump supporters, while the standard Jewish Americans are all diehards, what they call blue dog Democrats.
Yeah. Amazing. So are you going to call it? What do you think is going to happen?
So you know something? I called the last election, and I called it completely wrong. I called Brexit. I called it completely wrong. So I am very credible when it comes to calling an election. I'm starting to feel confident. I'm feeling, you know, the Americans talk of an October surprise. What happens in October that swings elections? And each time there's an October surprise. And the big October surprise this October seemed to be the fact that Donald Trump got COVID. And I don't know if you've seen, while he seems to have got, I don't know what he's on, maybe horse injections, but he's doing unbelievably full of energy on the campaign trail. While Melania, I don't know if you saw, has actually cancelled her latest appearance. She has not recovered from COVID.
Yeah, interesting.
She's still ill and too ill to appear. So COVID has been a big surprise. I think the next surprise is their attacks on Fauci. I don't know if you saw yesterday these irrational, illogical Trump attacks on Dr. Fauci. Doesn't play well with the American public. And I'm therefore, based on what we've seen in the October surprises so far, and the fact that it's not sitting well, Donald Trump yesterday saying he's instructed, in fact, the Attorney General to open criminal charges against Joe Biden and his very weird and ridiculous son Hunter, I'm going to call this one Biden.
Okay. Thank you, Howard Saxteen. So, you know, just looking at your past history of how correct you've been, you know, with the last election, with Brexit. Yeah, well done.
I want you to know there's only one thing you can do that's more certain than my prediction. Go to Sun City and put your money on red.
Okay.
That's a real certainty.
Howard Saxteen, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to speak to you. By the way, your interview.
Fantastic.